God is good. Amen. Not when we're not just when we're praying over our food. Hallelujah. God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. Hallelujah. God is good. Somebody shout all the time. So just every now and then, even when you're by yourself, when people are going to think you're crazy, just say, Hallelujah. Amen. Because God is able. Praise God. I wish I could have taught my brother-in-law that. As growing up, I'd help him around his shop. He was always a mechanic. He'd get so mad, he'd throw those wrenches. I'm telling you, if you had a metal detector, you'd get rich. Getting all the wrenches out of the woods that he slung out there. Blasting off and all mad and everything. Wish I could have shown him how to just relax, take a breath. If I had told him that, he would have thrown me out there with the wrenches. Amen. Amen. It really, really feels good in the house of God today. Praise God. This morning, of course, we're gonna sermonize and sermonate, and we're gonna preach, and I'm gonna do what I'm supposed to do. But I'm gonna go a little personal with you and share some things. And we are really, really close to. I remember when, you know, we were in the old building over there on Raleigh Road, just Thomason Street off Raleigh Road by the prison. And I said, when we build that new church over there on this piece of property, we ought to just make banners and all of that and just march over all down. Our first service just walked down the street. And it didn't work out because the first service was Pentecost Sunday. And that made me nervous because our very first service in this building was jam-packed full. And so that didn't work out. But so I thought, maybe we get all those banners made and walk all the way over to our new building when we get I know that would be a short trip. Not being funny. But I'm telling you, we are very, very close to having church over there. Now, that's very exciting to all of us. There's no doubt about that. But when I walk in that building, it is so big. I'm not going to say anything else. All right. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. To all of our guests and visitors, thank you for coming. You're not a guest visitor anymore. If you miss, we're going to go looking for you. Just kidding. Kinda. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Davidson County, Samaria. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We're reading about the power. And the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen. Praise God. We don't pray for people to speak in tongues. We pray for them to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's when they speak in tongues. But Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17 is where I was trying to get here. For the kingdom of God is not meat. The kingdom of God right now is not something tangible, touchable. It's not meat. It's not drink. But this is what it is. It's righteousness. And you know what righteousness is. Righteousness is doing right things. And then doing things right. Amen. And then it said, the kingdom of God is peace. Anybody use a little peace this morning? And joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what it is. Praise God. So I just want to preach for a little while. It just came together really quick. Forgive me if there's not a lot of history and a lot of meat and whatever, but is just something that I woke up with in my head, and I want to share it with you today. Amen. We'll make up for it tonight, maybe. Praise God. But I want to preach a sermon simply entitled, Find Your Song. Find Your Song. Praise the Lord. And many of you that have been Christian for a long time, perhaps, when I said that, you thought of your song. You thought of what your song is. And whatever it may be. And I'm sure some thought of Amazing Grace. I'm sure some thought of other things. And if you did, raise your hand. I knew it. Amen. And so I want to challenge everybody here today that you need to find your song. One of the reasons why you need to find your song is because we're in a very critical time right now at Landmark. And if we're not careful, every little thing's going to be escalated, blow up, and just, you know, every little problem at home, every little difficulty between the husband and the wife, and every little financial thing, and it's easy when you're already stressed to say, like Eeyore said, we're not going to make it. It's over. We're going to die. And it's easy to go there when you're already overwhelmed with life stuff. Amen. But my challenge to you, and I feel like I could already give an altar call, and that is, find your song. Find that song and sing that song. We're going to talk about that here just a little bit. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, we're going to be transparent. Is that okay? We're going to be as open as a book. And so, we're going to want you to go with me, walk with me, and let's share together here today. Praise God. You may find yourself in the sermon. And so if you do, then understand that we need to find our song. Let's look to the Lord. Jesus, thank you once again that I am fortunate and blessed to speak to such a wonderful crowd of people. Lord, I ask your blessings, your spirit. I ask your anointing. I ask your power and authority. I pray your dominion in this house. Lord, rather than be overwhelmed by the cares and the affairs of life in this world, I ask you to overwhelm us with your spirit. Overwhelm us with your anointing and overwhelm us, Lord, with your overcoming. Let freshness, let revival and renewal surface in this house today in a great, wonderful, powerful way. In the name of Jesus, and everybody shouted amen. God bless you. You're seated just now. Praise God. So, I woke up this morning. I'm glad I did that, aren't you? I woke up this morning with the new building, not just on my mind, but I woke up with it on my shoulders. Now, the other day I heard, Pastor, they poured the concrete on the second floor for the youth area. And I thought, man, I've got to see that. And the next best time that I had to come by, it was already dark. Mikey Smith was out there playing basketball like he does. And Mike Smith, his dad, was there watching him in his vehicle. And I said, Mike, let's go look at that second floor. Well, it was dark. We tried to get the lights on. The lights wouldn't come on. So the only thing I had was my cell phone light. So we went in. And then there was no way up there. There's these little scissor lifts. I said, I climbed up on it, and I was doing the knobs. I was going to work it. I didn't know. I'm glad I didn't. It probably would have fell over with me. But I got up there, and I said, I can't. He said, hey, I'll figure it out. We climbed up there, and he got it all figured out, and there we went. It was like an elevator we went up. I'm glad it was dark because I'm afraid of heights. And that's another thing that makes it. The thing is so tall, it makes me afraid to be up there. That's a big building. Listen, I'm telling you again, I didn't come to build big buildings. I just came to preach a little sermon. And look what the Lord's up to. Hallelujah. Yeah? Well, I told you I was going to be transparent. You go ahead and clap your hands, get all excited while I have the heart attack. Because we've got to fill that thing up. Anyway, we're on top. We're walking across there. It is huge. The top, the second floor is about as big as what's in here, and that's for the youth. And so here we are. and we're in a place we've never been before. And all of us have got the jitters, and all of us are a little bit nervous. Some folks are probably even thinking, you know, why did you even do all that? Amen. So I just, from the day we set foot on this property, we have believed that it is the will of God for there to be a church sitting on this hill with 1,000 in attendance so we can reach our area and reach the world. Amen. Now, we're a part of the United Pentecostal Church International. Amen. We're not an independent group. And so, because I don't even like the word independent. And if there's anybody out there that's independent, God bless you. I love you. But I'm just saying, how is an independent church going to reach the world? And so we're a part of an organization. It's not a denomination. Amen. We're apostolic. And we're Pentecost by experience. Praise God. I'm just saying, here we are. And we're a part of the United Pentecostal Church, and the sun never goes down on the United Pentecostal Church because we are literally, we have churches all the way around the world, amen. And there's thousands of us, and yea, I say millions in constituents, and so we average starting a new church, I think it is like two new churches every week, a new church is beginning. With the United Pentecostal. We're in revival. We're in a mighty move of God. The fire of evangelism is sweeping our continent. Why, even then, this is the truth. Even the Pope of the Catholic Church, who couldn't be any more opposite Pentecost than anything else in the world, he said, it is now okay to receive the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. You know why he said that? It's because he can't deny it. We got so many Catholics coming in and speaking in tongues, he can't stop it. Amen. So, hey, if you got a giant you can't go over, can't go around, and can't go under, then you just have to surrender. You know what a giant is? A giant is anything that's bigger than its kind. Well, the Lord is the only God that there is, and that makes him a giant. He's bigger than his own. We may as well surrender. We may as well submit, and we may as well commit ourselves to him. I honestly believe that church ought to be fun. Oh, Lord. Church ought to be exciting. Church ought to be one of the greatest places. All week long, you ought to be thinking, man, I need to get to church. It's going to be good this week. I know it is. Amen. And so I woke up this morning, however, with this new building. Again, not on my mind, but I woke up with it on my shoulder. I felt like I was carrying a humpback whale. I heard that they are a humpback whale is three buses long and weighs 66,000 pounds. That's a lot, and I'm not Samson. I can shake myself all I want to, and I still can't carry 66,000 pounds. The last thing I want the church to do is depict your pastor as weak or vulnerable. Vulnerable, but I've got to confess, when I woke up this morning, that was heavy, and it was a little overwhelming to say the least. But this next thing I'm going to say is what's going to blow your mind. Amen. And think perhaps that I lost my mind, because I honestly felt the Lord say, relax. Take a long breath. Now, sing with me. And it came to my mind, unbelievable. Haven't thought about it in years. And I started, in my mind, I was singing. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got you and me, sister. He got you and me, brother. He got that big new building. Woo! Then I started singing, if you don't mind, I'm going to transfer the responsibility in your hands. I'm going to put this big, heavy thing in your hands. And he literally, I just felt the Lord looking at me like you are and laughing. Woke up with a big load on you, didn't you, preacher? You're going to build this thing, ain't you, preacher? You're going to get this thing going. You're going to make everybody follow you and give to it. We're going to pay it off, aren't you, preacher? And I said, can't you take a joke? Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to know that we can say today that it's nothing that we have done, that it's nothing that we have built. It is nothing that we had to take the whole soul responsibility. All we had to do was sing our song and say, yes, Lord, and walk in the will of God. I'm preaching, if you may, to everybody in this building that's feeling the responsibility. There's no one feeling the responsibility. Rick, I'm so glad. I know you've been overwhelmed with your job. You've been working your head off. Amen. I saw you the other day waving at yourself going by. But there's no one with the responsibility about this like he's got the responsibility. And Jeremy Tyre sitting back there in the sound booth, I went over about three or four things that were just critical with him yesterday. And I said, can you take care of that? Call Steve. Get a hold of the bank. Da-da-da-da. And he said, yeah, Pastor, I'll do that. There's no one feeling it like he's feeling it. And then there's others. Some of you are sacrificing your income. You're blowing my mind at the what you're giving. Amen. When the secretary gives me the report of what came in that week, this to tithe, this to general fund, this to building fund, and on, amen. And there's always an amount in there for the building fund, and that's because many of you are going the extra mile. You are feeling the load, and you are feeling the responsibility. Months ago, I woke up, and I said, Lord, I don't have $100,000. I said, but I can walk 100 miles. And I went to Carson. I said I'm going to walk 100 miles, just try to raise a little money for the building fund. He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to go to it. My pastor's in Raleigh, and he's almost precisely 100 miles from this church. I said, I'm going to go, and your mom's going to let me out at the church in Raleigh, and then I'm going to walk back to Landmark. He said, not without me, you're not. And I said, no, you don't have to. He said, I'm going to. He said, if you tell me not to, he said, when you take off walking, I'll be about a mile behind you. He said, you're not doing that by yourself. I said, okay, you can walk with me. Amen. First 5 miles, I had blisters like you wouldn't believe, and then I'm walking in bedroom shoes. I felt every rock. Amen. It rained so hard one day, my wife had to go back to Walmart and get me another pair of bedroom shoes. We hit a tornado. You remember that? We hit a tornado there at Lake. What lake is that? Jordan. We were crossing Jordan, and we hit a lake. A tornado. The reason I said that is because I thought we were going to hit the lake. Amen. I had an umbrella. That was going to keep the rain off, man. Two seconds into that, and the umbrella said, poof. Amen. So I laid that to the side in a donation to the homeless, and so we went on. And then the horn went off. That thing was so close. And Carson was right there behind me. And in order for me to be able to hear him, he had to scream and holler. And because the wind was so... And he said, what do we do, Dad? I said, keep walking. And we just kept walking. And lo and behold, we made it all the way to Landmark. You guys met us over there at the cafe, and that was so awesome. Half the church was there, and half the church was here when we got here, and we came walking in, and God blessed, and we raised $20,000 for building fund, and it's just that the way it's all coming together with everybody doing whatever they can do, amen. And then we're going to wind up with this. We just need to understand. We just need to do what we can, and then we need to relax. Amen. Somebody comes at you and just all bent over and out of shape and in your face, you just say, relax. Find your song. Hurry. I'll sing it with you. He's got the whole world. He's got you in his hands. He's got, you know. And so all of this sacrifice that we've been doing, it's all culminating and coming together. And God is going to bless. And there are more people in Davidson County that want to live for God, and we will fill it up. Thank you. Amen. Amen. It can get heavy. It can get a little overwhelming. And then the Lord, he told me to relax, take a breath, and sing with me. I believe the Lord would have us to find our song again. During evangelizing, I don't know why, but I evangelized full-time for 5 years. And at the end of 5 years, I don't know how you would determine this. I don't know. You know, I always said, I looked at my wife and I said, okay, honey, what do you want to do? I said, we're going to stay out here and we're going to evangelize, or we're going to pastor a church. And I said, you help me pray. I said, if we're going to evangelize, we're going big time. We're going to do this thing. We're going to go. We're going to go to the bank, get the truck. We're going to get the gooseneck trailer, and we're going to go. And we're going to do this thing. And so we began to pray, and then lo and behold, the Lord put us in Lexington, North Carolina, and it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. Amen. While we evangelized, there was not 1 week that we were not busy and preaching somewhere. In fact, I had pastors upset at us because they scheduled us and they put it on the radio and the TV, I guess, or wherever, and advertised it and all of that. And for me to only call them and say, look, I'm sorry, this thing is broken loose, and we're going, because some of our revivals, they'd schedule it for like 2 nights and it would go 9 weeks. They'd go 13 weeks. And on and on. And then the next pastor's waiting. I said, look, I said, listen, I love you. I said, but I can't stop what God's up to. I said, he called me. I didn't call him. And I said, when I get to your place, we'll stay as long as God needs us to be there. I promise. Amen. And even when we settled here, I wrote that little letter. It's hanging right by my door on the office. If you ever get a chance, you need to stop by and read that. Every time I read it, I cry. But I hung that up there. And even when we settled here, I called pastors and I said, look, I said, I want to get to you. I said, but we're going to have to cut it short. I'm headed to Lexington. Amen. Them people, they voted me in. Hallelujah. Every one of them. It was almost 100%, I think. Sister Garrison's here. I don't remember. I think everybody wanted me. Amen. Do you remember, brother? Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. And so, 100%. Can you believe that? All 12 of them wanted me. I was so happy. Amen. And so I let them know we're coming to Lexington and we're going to have to cut it short. And they were upset at me. I said, look, I said, okay. Everybody's upset. I stayed out another month and I came home. Amen. And so some of them still haven't spoken to me today. Praise the Lord. I still go preach for them sometime if they want me to. But it was irrelevant. I knew the will of God. We came to Lexington. I started believing the Lord was going to have his way. We hooked up our little camper, ran our little water hose, ran my own phone line. Amen. Put a bird feeder out there and made a deal with the birds. I said, you don't mess with my truck, I'll feed you. They started messing with my truck. I took away the feeder. But we did that to make it work. Amen. And so it worked, and God blessed. And here we are today. And if God can bring us to this point, that's what he had to tell me today. And so maybe I need to tell somebody else. But if God can bring us to this point, then where else can the Holy Ghost take us? Let's rejoice over the mercy of God. Let's rejoice over the future. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There will be people that will come that aren't here yet. Amen. But I'm glad I was here all along for the journey. Praise God. And so I believe the Lord wants us to have our song back. So during evangelizing, my song was Amazing Grace. And then it would go to Hallelujah. You know how we used to do that years ago. Amen. And, you know, we'd sing Amazing Grace. And then we'd go into Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Want to sing it with me? It's just one word. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. and that's I sing that everywhere I preach. Same one every. And if they weren't careful, I'd sing it every night. I had one pastor's wife said, "Brother Marshman, do you know another song?" I said, "No, that's my song." Amen. And you know it, and it was mine. Amen. It brought me peace when I was preaching to two people, when I was preaching to just one person because they were starting a church and the church was in their living room. Amen. When it was 500, when it was 1,000. Amen. Hallelujah. That was my song. Amen. And the Lord reminded me today, go back to your song. I got this. You just go back to your song. Somebody lift your hands and worship with me. Come on, close your eyes, because I don't want you to feel like anybody's staring at you. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you ask the Lord to give you your song back? Ask the Lord to give you your song back. Praise God. Find your place and stand your ground and sing your song. Because life is coming. And it's coming, as I like to say, full throttle. And as it comes, it's going to come huge. Amen. We got to know that it ain't our responsibility anymore. We've been filled with the power of God. Listen, I've been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. He's washed away my sins. I walk with Him. I talk with Him. Hallelujah. He's got this under control. He's going to make it happen. Amen. He could fill that building just as quick as He could take away a head cold. Praise God. Amen. So we need to understand something. Amen. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28. Here's what the Word of God says. And we know that all things work together for good to them. Now here's the key. If you want all things to work together for the good, here's what the Word of God says you got to do. You got to love God. You've got to love God. And it's to them who are the called according to His purpose. He didn't just love you to save you. He loved you to pull you in to His purpose. We have a certain God for these certain times. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He loves us more than we could ever love Him. Amen. I want somebody to turn to your neighbor and say, the Spirit's coming. The Spirit's coming. There's people that were in the Bible that didn't know themselves as well as God knew them. They thought they did, but they didn't. I'll give an example. People that are overwhelmed and chocked with circumstances need to understand that there is an element of connection that God will use to bring sweet refreshing and absolute renewal. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. Luke 22, 31 through 34. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, I want to tell you something. Behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. In the Old Testament, when they sifted the wheat, it was the way they got the tares out. Remember when the tares grew up with the wheat? And the property owner said, don't pull the tares lest you get the wheat with it. Let the Lord take care of the wheat and the tares. And so when they began to sift the wheat, literally, they would throw it in the air and the wind would blow away all the tares because there was no head to the tare. There was no fruit to the tare. It was so light, the wind blew it and the wheat would fall back down. They'd do that over and over until there was nothing but wheat and the tares were gone. That's what Jesus was telling Simon Peter. He said, Satan wants to sift you because Satan knows something I know that you don't even know about yourself. And that is that right now you're a tare. Right now, you're not prepared for the kingdom of God. Right now, Simon Peter, it ain't in you like it should be in you. You ain't got everything you got to have. But I know that you're a tare. Satan knows you're a tare. And he's here to sift you like wheat so the wind could just blow you away. But Simon Peter, here in just a few days, another wind's going to blow your direction, and it's going to make you wheat. It's going to come rushing in like a mighty wind, and it's going to set upon each and every one of you. And when it's all said and done, you're going to be full of the Holy Ghost. And Simon, you are going to love me like you think you love me now. You don't love me like you think you do, but you will love me then. Amen. And there are people in this building today that have a genuine love for God, and you know you have a love for God, but the devil is trying to sift you like wheat. But I want you to understand today that the wind is blowing. The wind is blowing. Turn to your neighbor again and say, the wind is blowing. He said, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And when you are converted, did you hear that? When you are converted, you're not there yet. You think you are, but you're not. Oh, you think you'd die for me. Oh, you think you'd do all this. But I'm telling you, the rooster's going to crow. Before the rooster crows three times, you would have denied me. Three times you're going to deny me, great man of God. Great man that loves me. Great man that would die for me, fight for me, and all of this. Simon, I know you better than you know yourself. But there's one thing that's going to save your carcass. And that is the fact that when you just told me you loved me, it was true. It was true. You do. Hallelujah. And I woke up this morning and I said, Lord, you know I love you. I ain't man enough to do what you're asking me to do. And he said, just relax and sing with me. I'm sorry. I told you I was going to be a little transparent, and I hope you don't take his weakness, but I'm telling you right now, we're getting ready to see the church that God built. We're getting ready to see the church that the Holy Ghost directed. We're getting ready to see the crowd that the Lord drew. We're getting ready to see the power of God. We're getting ready to see the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We're getting ready to see the Spirit flow and the anointing flow and the power flow. Is there anybody with God? And so I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. Praise God. 32, but I have prayed for you. And then 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both in prison. I'm ready to go to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Wow. Wow. John 21, 15 through 19. Are we okay in the word here today? John 21, 15 through 19. I want you to look at this. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Jesus was already prophesying that the man was going to be the first preacher of the New Testament church on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church was born. Did you know that? That's when the church was born, on the day of Pentecost, and Simon Peter was the first preacher. Amen. And the Lord said, feed my sheep. He said unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said it twice. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? In other words, Peter, are you sure? Are you positive? Now I'm getting ready to do some horrible stuff here. I'm getting ready to bleed. I'm getting ready to die. I'm not even going to look human when they're done with me. Are you still going to be with me? Do you love me, Simon? Do you really love me? Are you going to make what I'm doing worth doing? I hear the clarion call of God speaking to this church right now, and I hear his voice loud and clear, and he's saying to me, he's saying to you, lovest thou? Lovest thou me? Are you willing to put down your carnal ways? Are you willing to stop being so foolish with your conversations? So silly with your verbiage? Are you willing to give me glory and honor that when people see you, they see me in you? Are you willing to go another dimension and get a little deeper? Are you willing to chase me, run after me? Is what I'm getting ready to do, what I'm preparing myself to do, is the devil going to laugh at me because really deep inside you didn't love me? You didn't care anything about me? Simon, for the third time, I'm asking you because I need to know this. Do you love me? Simon Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. Jesus said unto him again, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, Simon, you dressed yourself, you walked wherever you wanted to go, but when you are older, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another's going to gird you, and another's going to carry whither to a place that you would not want to go. The next verse told us what he was talking about. This spake he signifying by what death and how Simon Peter was going to glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Follow me. Deep inside Simon's heart, he loved God. And the Lord saw it. And he said, when you're converted, strengthen the There's brethren here today. When you're converted, when you go 100%, when you give it everything you've got, because the Lord's saying, I know you love me. I know you do. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Help me strengthen the church. Join hands and hearts with me and help me be a blessing to the congregation. Let's raise up a church that'll bring revival. Hallelujah. 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 Let the anointing break the yoke. Amen. Let yourself see people breaking out of bondage and set free and delivered by the hand of God. Amen. Because you've been fully converted. Because you've totally surrendered and submitted and given yourself to God. Hallelujah. And you're making a difference. Amen. Praise God. Simon said, I love you. But Jesus was saying, not like you're going to. Simon, at just before the crucifixion, he said, you know I love you. Jesus was telling him that just before you're crucified, Simon, you will love me. Amen. Simon Peter's love delivered him from the old man that Simon Peter used to be. His love was what delivered him from the old man he used to be. Praise God. Amen. Why don't you stand with me right now? All you need is love. I didn't mean to bring the Beatles in, but all you need is love. Telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that's what you need. We need the love of God that was shed abroad into every heart. Because the love of God, Simon Peter was close to the Lord, but he didn't love him as of yet like he was going to. But because he loved God and stayed close to God, he finally got there. And there's somebody here today that wants to get there. And it's your love, not my love. It's your concern, not my concern. It's your desire, not my desire, that's going to get you there. And that's why we have an altar today. We have an altar today for those that love him, but yet you know he knows you. Why don't you let that love bring you down here today and give you a deeper relationship? Why don't you let that love bring you down here today and give you back your song. Why don't you leave singing today and rejoicing? I want you to leave today worshiping and praising. I want you to leave today with a deep, deep desire to serve the Lord and Him only. Reaching out to Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Because some of you are feeling like, as I felt this morning, I'm in a big thing, Lord. I'm in a huge thing. You're able, Lord. You're able. You're most powerful. You're most wonderful. You're most righteous. And you know me. And Lord, you know that I love you. And the Lord is saying, you're going to feed my sheep. You're going to be an encourager to encouragers. You're going to be a strength to those that are strong. You're going to be a blessing to those that are already blessed. You're going to be a bulwark that I have established in this world for my kingdom. Because you're going to be converted. You're going to be turned over to the hand of God. He's going to do great things. Reach out. Reach out. Reach out. Reach out, reach out.
Here in your presence.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
All of my gains now fade away.
Oh,
every crown no longer on display.
Almighty God.
Here in your presence.
Right here in His presence. I see your sons. I see your daughters.
Here in your presence.
I see the sick. I see the lame.
All of my gains.
I see His grace. I see His goodness. I see healings. I see signs and wonders.
Kingdoms are standing
over. Standing right there,
Matchless in
If you believe it to be true, why don't you clap your hands? Someone say amen. Someone say hallelujah. Someone say the precious name of Jesus, whatever you got to do. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What an amazing time with God here this morning. You know, it's, and we've grown spoiled or accustomed to hearing an incredible message from our pastor. But this morning, I feel as though we have heard something more so than an incredible message. We've heard the voice of God. And I believe that there's been unity that has happened in this place this morning that maybe you haven't felt in quite some time. Maybe there's been peace that passes all understanding that has come across this place this morning that you haven't felt in quite some time. I think chains have been broken. I believe that miracles have happened. I believe signs and wonders have happened. And I think, you know, one day when we see Jesus face to face, you're going to find out just what he did for you this morning. The pastor says it all the time. We've heard it before where he says that, you know, we're going to find out what God brought us through, even things that we didn't even know about when we're standing in his presence. Wouldn't it be something to find out that you were here in this place this morning? The enemy was putting something on you that you had no clue about, but by simply just adhering to the man of God and worshiping him in spirit and truth, God delivered you from it, and you never even had to know you were in a battle. Wow! Wow, wow, wow. Why don't we do this? Why don't we let our pastor know just how much we love him right now?